Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is... No, you keep talking. I'll do the... My name is... Durante. Caitlin Durante.
I'm Jamie. James Jamie. Jamie Loftus also. The beginning of the movie's fun and then it's so long. Oh, welcome. This is the Bechdel cast.
It sure is. And what do we do here?
This is a podcast about the role that women play in famous movies, whether they be main sidekicks, femme fatales, or sacrificial lambs.
Hey.
Dun-dun.
Yes, so we use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point to initiate a conversation about the representation of women in movies. Mm-hmm. And the Bechdel test, if you're not familiar, two female identifying characters, they should have names.
Come on,
first of all, okay, they should be in the movie together. Mm-hmm. They should talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't talk about a man,
especially if that man is James Bond.
I like to call him Jimmy Bond.
I kept writing down Jimmy B. Jimmy Bobo.
And then for our purposes, it just has to be a two-line exchange between two women. And we'll find out later on if this movie passes.
We have picked perhaps... it's kind of interesting that it's taken us this long to get to this franchise.
Yes.
A notoriously toxic franchise.
Uh-huh.
That I'm excited to talk about. I know nothing about Jimmy Bobo. And so I did a lot of reading, did a lot of learning.
Good.
And boy... is this movie long?
It certainly is. Yeah. Without much further ado, let's introduce our guest, shall we?
Let's do it.
She is a New York comedian. Ever heard of it? So sorry. You might have seen her on Laughs on Fox. She is the host of the Love About Town podcast. And if you're a matron, you might remember her from our Back to the Future episode.
Yeah.
It's Kenise Mobley.
Hi.
Hey. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
It's great intro music.
Really excited.
Yeah.
I should have. It's Mobley. Kenise Mobley.
I'm just keep doing that.
Throughout the course.
I want to get bad iTunes reviews. I do it so many times.
So what's your relationship with this franchise?
Okay, so...
Oh, we're doing Casino Royale, by the way.
Casino Royale.
2006.
Is the movie.
2006. Okay, so when I was a kid, I watched all of the Pierce Brosnan ones. I went to the theater with my mom to watch them. They are cheesy as hell, but I was like super into them. Like the tech is dumb. They try to do some CGI stuff. It's dumb.
Yeah.
The relationship to the entire country of Russia is very silly. They have Alan Cumming playing a Russian. Do you remember that one?
I didn't know he was in a James Bond.
Yes. Alan Cumming is a Russian jerk.
In which
programmer,
one?
Hacker.
Whoa.
Yes.
Perfect for him.
GoldenEye.
Oh, shit. I played the video game GoldenEye. I don't know if I saw the movie.
That's the only video game I've played more than once. And I work at a video game company. They try to make me play video games, and I'm like, absolutely not. But I will fuck with some GoldenEye.
Sure, sure, sure. Oh, my God. I have to see Alan Cumming.
I need to
play a Russian villain.
Like, especially, like, everyone's doing the most. Like, none of the people they... I think Femke Janssen is not Russian, right?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, they have her being an evil lady who, like, chokes people with her thighs. It's, like, a whole thing.
Oh, of course. Oh
yeah,
God.
That's the
move. Like, you're a lady. If you're a woman, you have to put your pussy in someone's face and then choke.
Yeah, when
it.
You guys mentioned that on another episode, I was like, they must have seen Femke Janssen fucking people to death with her thighs. Like, it's a thing.
Pierce Brosnan's so inherently silly, too. Like, I feel like I just can't take him seriously. Like, maybe it's because I'm most familiar with his work in the Mamma Mia franchise.
Ah,
but
that
I'm
would
just
do
like,
it.
I can't take this guy seriously.
I saw that. For me, he starts off as Bond, and then he goes Thomas Crown Affair, which...
Ooh,
not a great, like, representing women, not great, but, oh, man, I have a soft spot for it, and I have to acknowledge that. But, okay, so.
Sure.
All that is preface to the last one, I think, with Pierce Brosnan was, like, 2000, or no, like, 98, maybe. And then I heard that they were coming out with a new one. It was around my 21st birthday. I am older than you guys, but so I think...
You're like a year older than me.
It's like crazy. It's like a whole different time. You don't get my references. I'm just like so old. So so I heard that they were coming out with it, and I themed my entire 21st birthday party around James Bond. So I brought the green felt stuff that covers like a table that you would play poker on. I got like 3 handles of vodka to make vodka martinis with. Mm-hmm. Not that many people came. I was not popular. So everyone who came, like, outside of me and the other people who were, like, playing poker the whole night, everyone else became shit-faced. And I turn around and, like, everyone's just on the floor. And I'm like, oh, well, successful party.
Theme party.
Yeah.
Guess what the theme of my birthday party was last year? Paddington.
Yep.
Confirmed.
Hell yeah. Was it Paddington, both Paddingtons, or Paddington 2?
It was basically just like, dress as close to Paddington as you can.
So everyone's dressed as Paddington? There's like...
Literally, someone wore a red hat and that was it.
We tried. Okay, to be fair, it was in the event description, in the event I made, and I didn't show up for it.
Wow.
But it was hard. It's hard to get a Paddington outfit.
I didn't realize. Yeah.
It looks so simple.
You can get a blue... coat or jacket or shirt, just a blue thing.
And there's a red bucket hat.
Yeah.
You think it would be easier to find a red bucket hat?
I feel like you got to go to Venice Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I think they're
travel.
Selling them there. Yeah. You're going to have to take the weed banner that's around the base of it. You're going to have to take that off. But once you do that,
sure.
Then I think you're good.
A fun birthday, though.
It was great. I had such a good time.
Hell yeah.
So then you saw the movie when it came out.
Yes.
And have you seen the other ones in this?
I have seen every other one. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Same. In order, I will give them in quality, and if people disagree with me, they are wrong, okay?
Takes.
So first one, Skyfall, duh.
Best?
I think Skyfall's best, followed by Casino Royale, followed by, this may be controversial, Quantum of Solace, and last is Spectre. I hated Spectre so much.
Spectre was really bad. I would agree with you. I think I like Casino Royale a little better than Skyfall, but I did enjoy Skyfall.
Yeah.
Either way.
I feel like people shat on Quantum of Solace so hard, but like compared to, it's like Spectre was very, very bad.
Yeah.
Is Spectre the most recent one?
Yes.
Okay.
Spectre is the one where he sleeps with a woman his age and they're like, whoa, this is wild. Okay. He fucked Monica Bellucci. This is nuts. Even though she is like a supermodel who is his exact same age. They're
right.
Like, oh my God, like inclusion? Is this equality? It was
weird.
Trash.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jamie, what's your history with Jimmy B?
Nothing. I have no history nor attachment to Jimmy Bobo.
He seems like he kind of hates women.
Oh, yeah. Does he?
It's weird. I feel like most people have like at least someone in their family like who is very into James Bond. I just didn't. I don't know what it was. At Robot Chicken, there was a really funny sketch that got cut based around GoldenEye, a movie I haven't seen, but it was about peeing in someone's eyeball. That was kind of funny.
Whoa, what?
Because it would make your eye golden.
It's like a golden shower your eye.
I really don't like it.
Well, it got cut. That's all I know about James Bond.
Cool. Good.
Yeah, what about you, Caitlin?
I similarly had seen at least a few of the Pierce Brosnan ones. The one I remember most is the one that Halle Berry was in, which I think was like early 2000s.
I think that was like one of the last Pierce,
if not the last one. Yeah, I just remember her like being tied to a slab, and there's like a laser about to like slice her up, and then of course Jimmy B has to come in and save her.
Jimmy Bobo, and that was still Pierce. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
yeah.
I only remember that one because that movie came out right after she won an Oscar, and people were like, "Huh?"
Oh yeah,
the first
for
movie
Monsters
she did because
that was like 2001. This had to be like 2002.
Yeah, I think so.
It was not good.
And it's either they all have the same name. These movies. It's like Live Another Day, Die Again Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Die Another Day, because I remember that was like a song.
That was a song, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who did that song?
Madonna, I think.
Whatever,
it's fine. I like that song. I honestly like most of the James Bond songs, and I cannot accept this about myself, but it is true.
The Adele one is really good.
Right?
That Skyfall's great. Yeah.
Patrice hates it. Patrice is my twin sister. None of you know her. Okay, cool. But she complains about this song constantly because we constantly get in fights about James Bond. She thinks Quantum of Solace is the best because she's fucking crazy. She's like, no, I studied geopolitics.
Don't you
and
have
I think
the
this
same brain as your twin?
Yeah.
Wait, she's arguing the cultural importance of Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, she's like, water rights are gonna be a thing. Come on, guys, we gotta get on board. And I'm like, I don't think that's a reason to like a film. I don't.
I've seen a few of those. I have seen all of the Daniel Craig ones. And then I hadn't seen any of like the ones from the Sean Connery era or like Roger Moore, any of those older ones. So I was like, maybe for this episode, I should just go and watch one of them, see how it goes. So I started Gold Member or Gold Finger. Again, they all have the same
Gold Member is
title.
Awesome Powers.
Cool. With so Beyonce. Not that one.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So Goldfinger.
Yes.
And I saw the first 5 minutes of it. And within the first 5 minutes, you see a naked woman in a bathtub. She gets out and starts kissing James Bond, who this one is a Connery one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So who's a notorious advocate for women.
Yes. Yeah. Feminist icon, Sean Connery.
Yep.
So he starts kissing her while she is still naked and he is fully clothed.
Ew.
And then a bad guy comes in to attack Bond, and so Bond flings her around and uses her as a human shield.
What?
And that results in the bad guy bludgeoning her on the head. And then I was like,
hot.
I've seen enough.
Yeah, this is...
I get it. I understand what this movie is gonna be. So
I can't get behind anything before Pierce Brosnan. I saw From Russia with Love or you get it. he hits a lady in it, and they're just like, of course.
Right.
I was like hits her in the face. I'm like, why are we doing this?
There's a number of supercuts out there of like old school James Bond just straight up abusing women, like treating them badly, physically abusing them, like it being racist. It's like he's just horrible.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
It's weird. And then it's like by comparison, like a lot of stuff I was reading about Casino Royale was like, well, by comparison, he's actually a militant feminist in this movie. And you're like, I guess if he was beating women up and now it's, I don't know.
I'll do the recap.
I couldn't tell you what happens in this movie, really. I know there's a card game.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm here to tell you what happens.
That accountants also have to sort of be... pretend to be people's girlfriends sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, kind of part of every accountant's job.
She is not a spy, but they're like, let's bring... Like, she's undercover
what is her
spy
training?
Now.
She's literally like the assistant comptroller or something. They're just... They're like, no, you gotta be hot.
Yeah. It's like, I think they did what they did in Miss Congeniality, where they were just like scanned through the computer and was like, who works here? And then they just threw her into this.
Yeah, which of you is... At least... But she was like already an undercover FBI agent.
Was she?
Yeah.
In Miss Congeniality?
Tracy Hart. Yes.
Yeah.
No, this is like someone with no fight training, right, who's never seen anyone die, who like doesn't know how to be discreet in any way. Like,
right. Yeah. And then he's like, wear this dress. You're my wife now.
Oh my God. That dress. I was like, I don't think I've seen anything that's more 2006 than that dress and that hairstyle together. Mm-hmm. I was amazed. But I was furious when she's like, in it. We'll get to it. But she's like just sitting in a shower. I was like, bitch, that dress costs like $10,000. Like, I get that you're sad, but like all you had to do was like take the dress off and then sit in the shower. Like, fuck out of here. Like, that's ridiculous. Okay, sorry. Continue.
It's a really, every prom dress from that era looks exactly like, yes, that dress with like the rhinestones down, uh-huh, the plunging neckline and the straightened hair. It's like, okay, eighth grade semi, what's,
yeah,
up?
Okay, so the story of Casino Royale, there's an opening scene. It's in black and white, and it's basically just establishing there's a new James Bond in town.
Daniel Craig.
Because he's gotten promoted to 00 status, or he will once he kills this double-crossing agent dude.
Yeah.
And then we see all that happen, and we're like, wow, James Bond is cool.
Yeah, he's gritty now.
Yeah.
So we cut to Madagascar, where Bond is after a bomb maker. And there's, sure, this huge parkour chase, right, through a construction site that ends with James Bond killing the guy and blowing up an embassy.
So infuriating.
That's very cool.
Yep, that was great. And we were supposed to be like, yay!
Yeah, it's like,
he got promoted.
This is in Madagascar. Like, they need the infrastructure. And yeah, that whole sequence, yeah, resulted in, like, the destruction of a high-rise building. Uh-huh. And I'm like, wow. Okay. What you're trying to save, like, you could have just saved money by, like, not doing any of that.
Right.
Yeah, this is a sequence that only could have been made during the Bush administration.
Yeah, right. Just the number of black bodies that are just, like, falling from the sky, like, well, collateral damage.
Yeah. I want to talk about that a little later on. Meanwhile, there's this bad guy, Le Chiffre.
Say it again.
Le Chiffre.
Yeah.
And that's Mads Mikkelsen's character.
Hell yeah.
And he's free bleeding out of his eye, you know.
It's a feminist text.
And he
Where's
is...
his eyeball diva cup? <He's> gonna...
He is taking money from bad guys in Uganda to invest in bad things? I'm not really sure. And then he's playing poker. He loves poker. He's on a yacht. He's got a girlfriend who I don't know if she even has a line in the entire movie.
She's his girlfriend, and yet she is 17.
That actress,
she's very young.
The actress that plays his girlfriend was in, it's got Monica Potter and Freddie Prinze Jr., and she has to blend in with a bunch of models to, like, for some reason, because they think he killed somebody. She's in that, but she's also in, she's one of the Americans in Love Actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With, like, January Jones?
Yeah, with January Jones and Denise Richards. Well, Denise Richards shows up later.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's one of those ladies.
Awesome.
Like, I am a model and this is all I do.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I gave her that accent, but given her face, I think it makes sense.
But, like, no, I buy it.
Okay.
Wait, her name's Ivana Milikovic?
Then, yeah, that accent made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Hell yeah. Russians, please do not be mad at me. I'm so sorry.
So we're back in London, and Bond is hacking. He's finding stuff out about something called Ellipsis. And then he breaks into his boss's house. That's M, played by Dame Judi Dench. And she's like, Bond, like, you shouldn't have killed that guy. You shouldn't have blown up that embassy.
Baldest woman in charge.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But she's like, you need to look at the bigger picture. Like, who hired that bomb maker? We don't know that because you killed him. And then she, like, basically, she's like, quit being such an arrogant wanker and never come to my house again.
And, God, every time they cut to Judi Dench, she's in this ornate room and she's super concerned.
Yes. Except,
and then sometimes she's on, like, a patio and she's super concerned.
Right. And then Bond goes to the Bahamas. He's driving a Ford.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the product placement in Casino Royale is so funny. He's always texting people on his Sony Ericsson phone.
Yeah.
And then in the closing scene, after spoiler alert, his lover dies, he's on a Sony Vaio laptop.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Okay, Judi Dench,
I'll come
I'm
back.
Over it. Like, a lot of Sony product placement. Yeah.
But I was like, Bond doesn't drive a Ford. Anyway, so he's driving around a Ford, and then he finds this guy named Alex Dimitrios, who is up to no good.
No.
And he is a known associate of Le Chiffre.
This is my new favorite. Caitlin, this
and this guy, Dimitrios, he's got a hot wife. He's got an Aston Martin. He is playing poker as well. So Bond joins in this poker game, and he wins Dimitrios's car and money and wife.
You know how that
goes. Yeah.
I mean, the top three possessions of any man.
And he finds out from her that Dimitrios is getting this flight to Miami. So Bond follows him to Miami. He realizes that there's some terrorists who are targeting this large plane to blow it up.
The shots of the plane are so... It's shot like it's a cock. You know what I mean? Like the shots of the plane are extremely phallic. I went back and watched them twice of like, what an interesting, like, you didn't need to do that.
Well, it's basically.
But it looks like a, like,
they're like, it's like the biggest plane ever to fly the sky. It's basically Titanic. They're like, I want to marvel the speed.
Right.
It's filmed like it's a huge dick. Like, it's just. That's
it's the Titanic of the skies.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this was the choice.
Yeah. I mean, anyway. So Bond stops this from happening. He stops the explosion. And then Le Chiffre was counting on the plane exploding because it would have done something to
the stocks. Yeah.
Which I don't understand how making the stocks lower would have made him money. I don't
you
understand the stock
it,
market.
You can... And I only sort of know this because of The Big Short, but you can
bet against
a certain outcome. I think
that's wild.
Ta-da! Yay!
That feels like it should be illegal.
Oh,
but anyway,
I will say in that scene where they talk about like, oh, he was supposed to make all this money from this plane being exploded, it didn't work. They also say, like, he also did this on 9/11. And they, like, very much so gloss over that.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, he did all this and he made a fortune on 9/12. And I'm like, so wait. In this movie's logic, Le Chiffre did 9/11 and it's only mentioned once and we never talk about it again.
And he, like, made a lot of money off of 9/11.
Oh.
That's like a one-off Judi Dench line.
Yeah, she says one line about it. And I'm like, so we're not going to go back to that?
And Daniel Craig is like...
Yep.
Cool. So this movie is suggesting that Le Chiffre
did
9/11.
Did 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
Anyway,
dark,
well, that's
dark
wild.
Days.
So Le Chiffre, oh my God, Le Chiffre. Le Chiffre.
Le Chiffre.
He has to recoup all that lost money. So now he is setting up a very high stakes poker game at Casino Royale in Montenegro.
Bad writing.
There's 10 players. It's a $10 million buy-in. And he's hoping that he will, because he's so good at poker, he'll sweep everyone out. He'll get everyone's money. But guess who's going to be one of the players? It's our friend, Jimmy B.
Jimmy Bobo at the table playing the cards.
Because he's also good at poker, because he's good at everything.
Yep.
And then Vesper Lynd shows up. That's Ava Green's character. And she's with the Treasury, who is fronting the $10 million for Bond's buy-in. And she's cute, you know? And they have some cheeky banter.
Mm-hmm. This is the first... This is canonically the first smart woman James Bond has ever spoken to.
Yes.
It's wild.
And then, as you hinted at, Jamie, they have to, like, assume these alter egos because they're going undercover. But immediately, Bond is like, I'm not Mr. Beach. I'm James Bond. Because, you know, he's an arrogant wanker.
Yeah.
And then they have to pretend to be a couple. And
they have to.
Yeah, though they don't have this cover story anymore, they need to.
Right.
The logic of why they have to be a couple is wild. And the logic of when you have, like, there's that scene where he brings her the dress. And then he's like, when you go down to kiss my neck, well, you want them to look at your neck. So that, I was like, this is a bad plan. This is a perverted bad plan.
It certainly is.
Also, I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if like women were playing this poker game? Like,
there are a few women at the table.
There is. There's the Asian lady who was at the. She was also on the yacht with LaChifra earlier. She hits. She never says anything throughout the movie.
Right.
You know, she appears in these two pivotal scenes, but has no name and no lines.
Right.
Maybe she did 9/11. Maybe. And then, it's like there's a story to be told. Someone at that poker table did 9/11.
The dealer is a woman.
Okay, yeah.
I believe. Mm. But yeah, there's, other than that,
no.
Women aren't allowed to play poker.
And don't talk in that scene.
Not at all.
But before that, they link up with this guy Mathis, because he's their like contact for this mission. And the players assemble. They have to enter this password in the event that they win so that the money will be wired to them. And then the game begins. It's Texas Hold'em. Bond and LaChifre are very good at poker. And Bond discovers LaChifre's tell, which is that his eye twitches when he bluffs, so he has to like cover it up. And then there's a break in the game during which Bond fights and kills a bunch of bad guys who are trying to kill LaChifre because he lost them the money. And then Bond gets all cleaned up and he's like, I'm back, baby. Here to play more poker. And then Bond loses all his money because he thought LaChifre was bluffing because he was doing his tell, but turns out he wasn't bluffing and he had the winning hand. So he needs $5 million to buy back in. And Vesper's like, no, you're an arrogant wanker. I'm not going to give you the money.
And he's like, man.
But this CIA dude who is also undercover and also playing is like, hey, I'll buy you back in as long as the CIA gets to take LaChifre. And he's like, great deal.
He says my favorite line in the whole movie, which is Jeffrey Wright being like, does it look like we need the money? And I don't know why. I love it. It's delivered in this very throaty way.
Yeah,
like it works for me every single time. I love it so much.
And when he said it, I was like, I actually don't know the answer to that question. I think maybe they could use the money.
Is the CIA just like rolling?
That's what I think everyone thinks about our government. They're just like, we don't give a shit. Here's $1 billion. We literally throw this away.
Right.
I was thrilled to see Jeffrey Wright in this movie. Yes. I didn't know he was in this movie.
I was like, thank God.
So then the game starts up again, but before anything can happen, LaChifre poisons Bond, and he goes into cardiac arrest, but luckily there's a defibrillator in his car.
As there would be.
Yep. And then Vesper has to like come in and save him.
She saves him, but then she's kidnapped.
Yeah. Wah-wah. Shit. And it's the final phase of the game. Everyone is all in, and guess who wins? It's our friend.
Jimmy Bobo.
Something like $150 million. And he somehow figures out that Mathis is a bad guy. And then he like runs out to go do something about that. And then Vesper gets kidnapped right then. He goes after her. They're both captured by like LaChifre's goons. And he tortures Bond by hitting him in the balls.
A lot. And hard.
Hard. And a lot.
What a... Did not see this kinky ball play scene coming.
Because he strips him down totally naked. It makes him sit on a chair without any, like...
He could have left his shirt on for the purposes of this type of torture, but sure. Okay.
We have to see Jimmy B's nipples.
Yeah. I mean, I was thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled. But what a wild sexually charged scene.
Yeah. Because he's trying to get the password that Bond had entered so he can steal all the money back from him. But Bond refuses. And then someone comes in and kills LaChifre and leaves Bond and Vesper alive. So then the money gets transferred to Bond. You know, Vesper's like, I have the account number and you have the password. And he reveals that the password was Vesper because he's in love with her and they're in love now.
She took way too long to recognize that it was her name. It's like a 6-letter thing. And he's like, V-E-S. And it isn't until P where she's like, wait,
oh,
what?
Wait?
And I was like,
that's like my name.
What are you talking about?
And also she starts loving him for no reason, but suddenly they're in love. Or at least, I guess she's pretending. I don't know. But they go on holiday in Europe, and they're riding around on a boat. And he is, there's Wi-Fi on the boat, apparently.
Yeah, Sony Vaya's out.
His penis recovered, is what they want you to know. They're like, there's a scene where she literally weeps, like, even if it's just a finger left. And he's like, oh, yeah. Hey, babes, cock still works. Yeah.
And then he decides to quit being a spy because he loves her so much. he like emails M with his resignation letter from a boat that apparently has Wi-Fi anyway. But then he's like, wait, something is wrong. And the money is not in the account that it's supposed to be in. And he realizes that Vesper stole it. So he goes after her. There's a big fight. A building collapses into the sea. And then she lets herself drown and die.
Yeah. What?
Not sure. And then M is like, oh, she was being blackmailed by Le Chiffre's people who kidnapped her boyfriend. So that's why she betrayed Bond.
This is all delivered so last minute. And like yeah. Judi Dench says it all in one breath.
She says it.
Like, what?
She's like, hey, BT Dubs, we found out this person that we were working, like that was working for us, has been against us this whole time, is completely compromised. Like, this is her dating history. Like,
yeah.
The amount they were able to discover so quickly after makes it fact, seem like it yeah. was very obvious.
And right. Then, yeah, and then, like, Judi Dench is like, yeah, bummer we didn't figure that out earlier. Anyways, that's how it goes. Like, she starts off as being so thorough and then is like, well, Eva Green's dead. Should have seen it coming. Didn't see it coming. What are you going to do? Come back to work, maybe?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
And somehow this is the easiest Daniel Craig Bond movie to follow because I like really? Quantum of Solace and Spectre are unfollowable. Skyfall is pretty easy too, but like you're just like, what? Yeah. We need to take a quick break, but we will come right back in a second.
Yep. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We're back. Here we are.
I think that was a good transition back.
All right, where to begin?
I want to, because you both have far more experience with this franchise as a whole than me, I wanted to talk about the concept of a Bond girl.
Please.
In general, because it seems like Eva Green is one of the Bond girls that is treated slightly better than a lot of other women in the franchise. And I did some reading about this, but I was curious about your impressions on Vesper.
I like that she at least has an active role. Like in a lot of the Pierce Brosnan ones, it's a woman who like, hey, I was going about my life, living it, and somehow I'm tied up in this international intrigue. Mm. And oh no, someone's trying to kill me and I have no preparation for this and I just run around and scream a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thankfully this isn't, I mean, she does do her fair amount of screaming, but at least she has like a reason to be there and some sort of training, and she gets to make some decisions even though they're immediately overridden. So
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. It's because she does she participates in the narrative more than I expected, just like with the reputation of the James Bond franchise. But it's still so, like, she participates in that fight where James Bond kills two men in front of her. But she only for like a second. She gets the gun out of his hand and that's it. Or she prevents James Bond from being poisoned, but then 2 seconds later she's kidnapped. Yeah. And it's like you're saying, her most of the stuff she contributes is overwritten right away. And she's mostly just like, James Bond, you're not as cool as you think you are.
And then he does something that proves that he's that cool. And you're like, okay, really? So you're just saying she's wrong. That's the whole, okay.
Right. I would argue that her involvement in the story doesn't make that much sense, because the position that she's put in is like the representative of the treasury that's fronting the money. Like, as we already kind of hinted at, like, she has no like spy training. The fact that she's thrown into this undercover mission
basically as a spy.
Yeah.
And you know, when they shot this, she's 26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's
there's a 12-year age gap. And the age gap, it's sad that I'm like, that was less of an age gap than I thought. But 12-year age gap between these actors, just for curious listeners.
Right. Yeah, so she's thrust into the story in this, like, spy role that she has no training for.
Yeah, and she's an accountant.
Right.
A sexy accountant.
But it's clear that whoever crafted this story was like, well, we need a woman there to keep being there so that he has someone to kiss. So they're like, oh, we'll just take this treasury woman. But like, her role as like a representative of the treasury and then her ongoing role based on that, like, that doesn't make sense. But they're just like, well, we need this beautiful woman here. So let's keep her, you know, her around.
From what I know, and I'm sure that James Bond fans are going to slide into our mentions for this episode, it's inevitable.
Sure.
I'm still traumatized from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that Casino Royale, this is adapted from one of the first, if not the first, James Bond stories ever written. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how closely, I know like all the main players that are in this movie are included in that story, but I don't know how far this deviates from the Ian Fleming original.
This movie had also previously been adapted in the 60s too, I think. There's another Casino Royale.
Yep.
Based on the novel.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Is that a Connery one, do we know?
I don't.
I'll fact check it really quick. Just to 1967. David Niven, the first James Bond.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few Bonds that were only in like one or two movies.
Yeah. And Peter Sellers is in it. Mm. Oh, okay. So in the original one, Ursula Andress plays Vesper Lynn and David Niven plays Sir James Bond.
Okay.
In the 1967 one.
Got it.
So also, and it is Casino Royale is the first James Bond novel, first Ian Fleming novel.
Oh, ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But not the first Bond movie, because there had been a few before that, I believe, in the earlier 60s. It doesn't matter.
I had a little bit of research about the history of Bond girls. They do tend to fall into three categories: main sidekick, femme fatale, sacrificial lamb. All three of which are, like, not every story has all three. Casino Royale does. According to this, the main sidekick would be Vesper Lynd, the femme fatale would be Valenka, and the sacrificial lamb would be Solange Dimitrios, the wife.
Okay. Wait, who is the femme fatale?
Valenka.
The one who poisons him. Le Chiffre.
Yeah.
His girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. She makes a mean face while she poisons someone.
So. Right.
Got it.
So these are the three main categories of Bond girl. Apparently it's Ian Fleming, who seems generally pretty gross and misogynist, but he says that the inspiration for all of the Bond girls that appear in the franchise ever are based around this woman named Muriel Wright, who he met when she was 26, and he was not 26. She was an independently wealthy model who was devoted to Fleming despite his repeated unfaithfulness, and then she died in an air raid.
Oh.
And
okay.
So then Ian Fleming was like, I'll honor her memory by being rude to women until I die.
Right, because if we break down those three Bond girl roles. It's a woman who has to die to further the plot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a woman who doesn't really get her own story. She's just attached to the male hero's
story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or it is an evil, devious woman, because women be manipulative.
And like not just that, but like the using her sexuality for evil.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. And there's a few other like tropes of the Bond girl that, and there's so many that no one character, like there's no complete through lines. But several Bond girls have obvious signs of inner turmoil, and others have traumatic pasts. Several have unhappy sexual backgrounds that we know about. So Roald Dahl wrote the screenplay to...
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
You Only Live Twice.
Oh, okay. That's
all these 1970s like children's authors like Shel Silverstein, Roald Dahl, they're out there doing pervy weird stuff on the side. So he wrote this, but he said that when he was writing that screenplay, he was explicitly told, he was advised to use three Bond girls. The first should die, preferably in Bond's arms early in the movie. The second, a villain whom Bond seduces before she dies in an unusual and gory way midway through the movie. And the third, who survives until the end of the film. So this is like baked into the formula.
Yeah.
To the point where they would just tell a writer like these three things should happen.
I mean, well, just looking around the room of the three of us, like obviously one of us is a femme fatale. Obviously one of us is a sacrificial lamb, and one of us is the sidekick.
The three categories of women.
Yeah. So it actually lines up pretty well. It's actually very accurate for women.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that's where we've all been there. At one point, we've all been all of these.
Wow, because women contain multitudes.
Oh my God, wow.
Can we talk about the sacrificial lamb first, I guess?
Yes. Okay, I have. So I took a lot of notes during this movie. Yay, I was in a Starbucks in Culver City yesterday, just going nuts, like, wow. And all of my lines begin with, okay, well. because, like, even, okay, we first see her. She's riding on a horse on the beach, and the people on the beach are happy to see this. And I'm like, that is fucking disgusting. There's poop everywhere. And they have these three random black kids who are just like smiling and running after her.
They even the horse.
Yeah, they do like a close up of these smiling black kids' face. And I'm like, for what?
Right.
Oh, black people cosign. So it's like sensual and meaningful. It's very, I was so dumb.
It is
and
so then, strange, yeah.
We're supposed to believe that she's like this poorly treated, put upon woman because she goes into the casino, she hugs Demetrius, and he's like, you're 2 hours late. And then she looks at James Bond like, see how I'm treated? But if you were 2 hours late to a date with me, I'm sorry, I have the right to be mad.
I'd be like, you're 2 hours late. And then she was like, oh, sorry, I was out on a horse.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm late.
I'm furious. I was like, you're the jerk in this scenario. And Bond says, he negs her outside of the car. He's like, because she's like, oh, I don't go home with strange men. And he's like, maybe you're just out of practice. Where it's like, I shouldn't have to prove that I'm married.
Right.
This, so much of the Buscemi test can be applied to this movie.
Oh,
where
yes.
If Steve Buscemi says that to a woman outside of a car,
even
she
if
runs
he,
away.
Yes, even if he has away. An Aston Martin, she's
you
still like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If Steve Buscemi says, have you gone home with a strange man recently?
Yeah. They exchange maybe like six lines of dialogue and she gets into this stranger's car. And I was like, I know what happens to her. Like, I've seen this movie before and I feel less bad because she's clearly not protect. Like, she's random strangers.
Right.
Anybody.
She's also this, like, you know, exotic beauty with this, like, European accent, like an Italian accent kind of thing. And
yeah, it's like Daniel Craig is ugly hot, okay? He's like, this is a category of men. He is ugly hot. I'm into it. It's definitely my type. Mm-hmm. But to act like this woman who is clearly with some sort of millionaire man who lives on a fucking beach is going to be like, oh, boxer face over here? That's who I want to get with?
Have boxer face.
Fuck off. Right. Like, what? Like, she would have been fucking a bellboy so long ago. I have so many issues with that. Absolutely not.
I mean, just like the whole building. I know it's like so baked into his character, but the idea that James Bond, regardless of which actor is playing him, is just inherently irresistible to all women. Because it's like even his smaller interactions with women, because he, you know, flirts with a number of like secretaries and concierges, and they're all like, oh.
Yes.
And it's like, you wouldn't do that to any random daddy off the street, which is ultimately who he's like an upper scale good-looking dad.
Yeah.
You wouldn't act that way.
The receptionist at that the hotel or whatever in the Bahamas is like fucking him with her eyes. And I'm like, why?
She has to like change her pants. Like,
yeah, she's like, right. You a man? A regular ass looking dude? Oh my God. Also, and this is a pet peeve of mine. In this movie, outside of the concierge lady, none of the people who work for this hotel are white. And then so the idea that this like James Bond is going to be just tying his shoe and someone's going to be like, hey, you. And I'm like, oh, no. They would have been like, where's the black person that parks our car? Like, it drove me insane. But I do look forward to a future when white people are also accused of working wherever they happen to be. Like that. Right. I was like, progress? But no. Right. But what? No.
Oh, my God. And this is on topic for what you were just saying. But, like, the way that Africans are treated in this movie.
Yeah.
Is because you see scenes in Uganda and in Madagascar.
Yeah.
And
you can tell the difference because in Uganda, the black people are very shiny and sweaty. Mm. And in Madagascar, they are dusty. And that means we are in a different place.
Right.
Yes.
It's raining in one place and not in the other. Uh-huh. I feel like this is very common of a lot of movies, especially of this genre. But if you see Africans, they are all like militant militia, like money, power grubbing, like just violent people.
And largely used as scenery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like when they follow little black kids running around and it's like, hey, you know, exotic. It's like, yeah, I hate that.
Right.
And then in the scene where James Bond kills those two guys in the stairwell.
Yeah.
One of them is fighting with a machete. And I find that like, I wish they would stop making Africans fight with machetes like Africa. Like, these people have
weapons.
Guns.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, never mind. Wait, what is the culturally appropriate thing that I should have?
Because he's wearing like a three-piece suit.
Yeah. Where is he?
He only brought a machete.
It was so infuriated.
Oh, because he had the machete because he was going to chop off a woman's arm.
Okay.
Because, you know, Africans.
You can shoot off an arm. I just
It was impractical.
Yes.
No one would ever bring a machete to a casino.
It's the suggestion that like these people are so primitive that
they're
going to chop off limbs.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Well, and also like right before that fight when they capture the femme fatale girlfriend, it's like that is such an old image of like black men taking these virginal white girls and like, oh no, James Bond has to rescue this virginal white girl who later tries to kill him.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, murders two black men and it's fine because he sucks their blood off of Eva Green's fingers. Hated that.
So in that weird. Scene when they're ruining very expensive clothes and he's like, he sits down next to her, he puts his arm around her. Did she ask for that? Whatever. Okay. But then he's like, oh, like I'll make it better. And he sucks on her fingers in that weird way. I'm like,
and then he says better. And she's like, yes.
She's like rocking back and forth, like having a fit. And then he's just like, let me just lick
it. She was having a full on. I mean, but to be fair, that was one of the only reactions in the movie that made sense. I'm like, she is an accountant. She did not sign up to watch two men die by someone she doesn't know that well.
Yeah.
Like, it's, oh, God.
We're all over the
back
place.
Back to Solange.
Yeah.
Sorry. That character, she's not around for very long. And then how does she die?
So here's what happens. Basically, Bond uses her to get information from her on her husband.
Which she knows. That's like referenced
She mentions
in the scene.
That while they're
right.
like, making out.
She's like, and then they're dry humping on the floor.
In another very 2006 dress.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like that weird sort of sateen. Not satin exactly, but like this shiny thing that's supposed to hang on you, I guess.
If it gets wet, it's ruined forever. Like that kind of.
So he invites her to his room. She, for reasons that don't make any sense, agrees to it, I guess, because it's implied. Yeah, she's like this horny housewife whose husband doesn't love her enough or something.
Yeah. Right.
And then he uses her and then like orders some champagne and caviar for her.
For
and then
her.
Like, peace.
And then says bye.
And then she
doesn't say bye. He never says
doesn't.
Bye.
He just runs out.
Like while she goes to the bathroom, he's like, send caviar and champagne. Okay, cool. Wait, what? No, for one. Just for one. And then he disappears.
Yeah. She's also, I don't know, like, what background it's implied that she's from, but I felt like she was, like, pretty exoticized.
Oh, yeah.
The way her character was treated. Like, she just can't help herself. She has to have sex with Daniel Craig. And There's that whole, this exchange did make me laugh, where it's just so like James Bond cheesy, where she's like, I had so many chances to be happy, so many nice guys. Why can't nice guys be more like you? And then he says, because then they'd be bad.
Oh.
I was like, oh, he went there.
Oh, gee whiz. And then so the next scene we see her in, she is a dead body. She's dead. Yeah.
In a hammock,
like tangled up in a hammock, because Lashif's people had her killed for talking to Bond and giving him any information.
Right.
I think it was Lashif's people. Yeah. It's hard to tell. There seems to be a lot of bad guys in this movie.
It's so quick. And it's like the fact that in 2006, they're like, no, that still has to be a core element of these stories. There's so many ways he could have gotten that information. Woman didn't need to die for it.
Right. Yeah. He is a spy. Like he can just follow the guy around.
Yeah.
But the fact that he uses
good spies aren't horny.
He uses a woman to get information that he easily could have gotten somewhere else.
Yeah.
And based on his personal history, he should be more concerned for her safety.
Right.
Every woman you've slept with dies. You should figure that out.
Yeah. That's
a you problem.
Bond, he sees women as being disposable. Mm. So we got to take another quick break, but we'll come back and talk about more of the ladies.
La, la, la.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
No, wait. Oh, that's it. Oh, that's still right.
Yeah.
I keep being really nervous. I'm going to slip into Mission Impossible by accident.
I get that.
I was so afraid when we started. I was like, oh no, it's the wrong one.
I mean, it's confusing. Also, they work for MI6, not to be confused with Mission Impossible 6.
Oh, yeah. God, there's such a different movie where what if they had really just jumped the shark with the Daniel Craig franchise and they're like, no, his dick gets cut off. And now we've got eunuch Jimmy Bobo out here navigating the world without a penis, probably being way better at
yes.
his job. I think
he can hack into M's house and computer. He clearly has access to do all of these things. He does not need to fuck these women to get this stuff.
His dick is really what's holding him back from being an exceptional spy.
And honestly, I think that's true of a lot of people.
Yeah.
if we could just get, no, like, not all the dicks. I'm not crazy. Like, but
sure,
some of the dicks would help people achieve their fullest potential.
We need more clarity. I mean, yeah. Horniness in general. If people were less horny, imagine what we could accomplish. We need to neuter.
More people need to be neutered.
This is my 2020 platform. Like, for a less horny future.
Yeah.
Please elect me in the office.
I think the biggest flaw of this movie is that Q is not present, and Q, of course, is his friend who comes in later, who makes like gadgets and stuff for him, who is played by Ben Whishaw, aka Paddington. So
woo, he's got like flopsy hair.
Yeah, he's looking cute.
He's a cutie pie.
He's like every guy I dated in grad school. It's perfect. Mm. Thinner than me, but I have to live with that in my brain. Yeah, it's great. God. Oh my God.
So moving on to the femme fatale.
We don't know that much about her.
Including her name? Do we ever learn her name on screen?
I don't think so. And she's credited as being named Valenka, but I'm assuming that's because she has a name in the book.
Okay.
Because I don't think we ever hear it on screen.
Got it.
She is the first time you see a woman on screen in the whole movie, I believe. It's around 19 minutes into the film.
When she comes out
of the
water.
She walks through the room.
Yeah. She's like, there's like a male gaze shot where she's like, she's popped out of the water, she's wearing a swimsuit, she's drenched, and then she climbs onto this yacht, and then she like walks through a poker game.
The number of times people walk through poker games like that's cool is insane to me. Like,
it's so
you're soaking wet. This is a mega yacht, okay? You could go to another floor. You don't have to do this in front of everyone.
It's so weird. And her crossing that room just starts out a scene about poker.
Right. Like, we could just cut straight to the poker game. We don't need to see a woman getting out of the water and then like toweling off as like,
but
it's just like,
we haven't had a James Bond movie in 4 years. People forget what bikinis are. And they forget what objectification feels like. And we have to remind them. Yeah, I don't know. And then she's later, there's that moment with the two men that James Bond eventually kills, who I don't think are named either. Are they named?
The two African?
Yeah, the Ugandan.
Yeah.
Machete and not Machete.
Yeah.
She's like captured by them, and we're supposed to be like, we have to save this virginal white girl.
Right.
But then it turns out the twist is women are bad. And she tries to poison him. And then she dies as well, doesn't she?
Where does her story leave off?
She's around, I think, when they're like cutting a hole in the chair to put James Bond in. I think, doesn't she lead Vesper off into another room?
I think so. Mm-hmm. So if she does die, it happens off screen, and it's implied that we don't really know for sure. But if she is with them as Vesper's being tortured, it's implied that all the people except for Vesper get killed.
Yeah.
So if she dies, it happens off screen, but you know,
but she's,
we can assume that she might die.
She's not even a particularly like interesting or good femme fatale, but she's there.
Well, because she's only on screen for maybe a combined total of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's hardly in the movie.
She doesn't have any lot. Like, she doesn't even get like a cool catchphrase. Like,
no.
You got like Femke Janssen would like say like some nonsense after like pussy killing someone. Like, she would say something cool and you're like, oh wow, that what, she's nutty. Like, there was something there, but this was just like she silently poisons people.
She
says one line, like, I'm sorry.
She says
classic woman line. You get one line and it is you apologizing.
She's apologizing to the chief. Because I guess she knew the bad guys were there in the room. And because like right after that, they attack him. So I guess it's implied that she knew that they were about to attack him, or that like she sold him out or something. I don't quite know. But yeah, we see so little of her that it's like can't make heads or tails of anything.
Because they always show her back.
Right.
Just keep showing it.
But she's there to be, I don't know, like, I mean, clearly this franchise has no regard for women whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. But, like, not, I mean, I guess Vesper kind of ends up to be a similar thing of, like, she's not what you thought. She's duplicitous and, like, she's, you know, she's fooling you. She's lying to you. All women are deceitful above all because they want your money and they want your penis and they want to, you know, like, all this shit. So that's Valenka's deal.
Yeah. So just to recap, we see her sexualized. We see her being brutalized. She poisons our hero. Mm-hmm. And then it's implied that she dies.
Yeah. So, which is the exact same thing as Solange, minus the poisoning. She is sexualized. She is brutalized. She is murdered. let's talk Vesper.
Okay.
She's not like the other girls, that Vesper.
Okay,
she's
only
accountant.
Been working for 4 years. Like, she, I'm sorry. It made me so mad when I found out that she was only 26. And I'm like, the way he negs her at the beginning, where he's like, you wear mannish clothes and you try to act tough, and that's why you're not promoted. And I'm like, in the 4 years since college?
Right.
Like, she's already being put in charge of $10 million, I think. Yeah. She's doing all
right.
She's
doing fine.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that scene where they meet each other, because yes, there's so much of... I wasn't expecting a scene like that. I hated it, but... from the reviews that I read at the time, this is supposed to be like, it's one of the only two times James Bond, quote unquote, falls in love in any of the movies ever. I guess it happens in one other movie in the late 60s, but she is killed after they get married. And then he goes back to being an asshole. But this is, Vesper is the only other woman he like actually falls in love with and possibly considers quitting the swinging dick lifestyle. So this is supposed to be like, Jimmy Bobo finally meets his match.
Right. Yeah.
And there's just like, it's such corny dialogue where he's like, your beauty is a problem. You worry you won't be taken seriously. And then she says, which one could say of any woman with half a brain? Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, yes, queen. And then he's like, true. Or what he says, like you were saying, Kenny's overly masculine clothing, more aggressive than her female colleagues, which gives her a sort of prickly demeanor. And ironically enough, makes it less likely she'll be respected and promoted by her male superiors, who mistake her blah, blah, blah.
Insecurities for arrogance. Yeah.
Right. And then she looks at him like, you've got me.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Oh, you're right. The fact that I have any confidence is a game.
It's off-putting.
Gross.
But then she like turns it back on him, because he's this whole scene serves to be like, look how good I am at poker. I'm so good at reading people. So he's reading her, and then she turns it right back on him. She's like, well, you're an orphan who wears suits that look like shit.
Yeah. Which was cool to see.
You wear it with such disdain.
Yeah.
And then he looks at her like, oh, perhaps Jimmy Bobo has met his match. And then she's just like, I'm not going to fuck you. Nice ass, though. And he's like, thank you.
Just before that, she says, she's like, MI6 looks for maladjusted young men who give little thought to sacrificing others in order to protect queen and country. And then a little bit later, she says, you think of women as disposable pleasures rather than meaningful pursuits. I don't think women should be looked at as meaningful pursuits either, but...
But it's like, that was the sort of line where I was like, heart in the right place.
Right. But it feels... This is one of many examples that we see of, like, the woman character who we're supposed to like saying something that is vaguely feminist, but it feels so empty because of everything else that happens in the movie.
It's major lip
service.
So
it's like, right, because she's calling attention to him, like, his habitual mistreatment of women, but then...
With kind of like a nod and a wink to this entire misogynist franchise.
Right.
Like, remember how you used to literally punch women in the face?
Right, but then the movie still treats women like shit, so it means nothing.
It just has to get sneakier.
And then she's like, yeah, you have a hot ass, though.
Yeah, and then he's like, thanks for noticing. Yeah.
And in the car ride to the hotel, they're talking about how they have adjoining rooms, and she's like, I'm not going to have to worry about you. And that just, like... You're not going to have to worry about him coming into your room tonight? Is that you have to ask him? Like, you have to be you're not going to rape me, are you?
Again, it's like, she's an accountant.
Yeah.
This is such a crazy concern for an accountant to have.
Yes.
On a trip.
And he's like
this.
No, you're not my type. Not that I'm morally opposed to going into your room. But it's just, you're single, so gross. Like,
right. Because she goes, smart? And he goes,
single.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then,
he's like, I'm a bad person. I'm not a rapist, though. Great.
Right. And then because of this weird... Who knows who made the choice that she has to go from being an accountant to a spy who's undercover and in love with him to like...
And has to be his girlfriend.
Right. Because heteronormativity...
I was like, who would be the one to make this call? Would it be Judy Dench?
I guess.
Whose jurisdiction is this in?
But that happens, and we've already discussed that that's ludicrous. But then he uses that excuse to take... a lot of liberties with her body, surprise kissing her, groping at her. She is like resisting a lot of the time at first, and he's still just like, we have to maintain this cover that you're in love with me.
Right. I immediately broke upon entering this hotel. What are you talking talking about?
Which is so not necessary. I mean, it's like just so not necessary to his success in this poker game to be like forcing himself on this woman he just met.
I guess the idea is like, well, you're a woman who is attractive conventionally, so I'm going to use you to distract the other players so that I can win.
Yeah.
So
and then it's like, again, kind of like you were saying, Caitlin, there's like these empty, like, well, she has his, she's got his number too, where he brings in that dress. He's like, you're going to wear this dress. You're going to kiss my neck. And then she's like, well, I got you a jacket.
A dinner jacket.
There are dinner jackets and there are dinner jackets.
Right. Yeah. And then that's like the empty, like, oh no, she's not powerless in this situation. She bought him a jacket.
Yes.
Right. But that's the thing with her character is that, like, she always has like a rebuttal, or she's like, your jacket sucks. I sized you up the moment I saw you. Mm. And the idea that the movie is putting forward is that, like, ooh, he's met his match. All other women are lame and stupid, but she's not like the other girls, and she can like match his wits and his whole thing.
I mean, they're all lame and stupid, but you have to throw your dick in there. You have
you
to.
You have to throw like, your dick, just detach it from your body, and launch it in.
Launch it,
There, and ultimately, with her, it sucks because it's just like with these characters, even when you're given this empty feminist, like, it reminded me of that thing we talk about all the time where like women in action movies get to do one thing, and everyone's like, wow, look at her go. Girl power.
Right.
But it's like empty and means nothing. Yeah. And it's just to like throw the SJWs off. Yeah. But we're not thrown off. She like ultimately she has no motivation outside of establishing a domestic life with James Bond. Because after all this stuff happens, and it's like we find out she's a double agent, but we're led to believe, like, we don't know what her ambition in life is. It seems like she's got a pretty powerful job that she can apparently just leave.
Yeah. She took go on a boat in Venice.
She seems like a high-ranking money manager for England, but she's just like, no, you're going to, like, be my husband, and, you know, pulls him away and takes on this nurturing role for him, where there's that weird line where she was like, if you were just a smile and a little finger, I'd still fuck you. And he's like, and he's finger does fucked up stuff. And
it's like, are you going to finger her with your pinky or like rub her clit?
I did picture
I did picture what do you do with a pinky finger?
What if you
sexually
just had a smile like, and a pinky?
They're like connected cosmically and they just go to town.
But she's ultimately like, we don't know anything about her. The logistics of her character are paid. There's no attention. We don't know what she wants in life other than to be hanging out with James Bond.
Well, I would argue that she is all three things. She is also a femme fatale and also a sacrificial lamb.
Because they kill her.
Because she sacrifices herself and by drowning herself in the elevator.
When she did not need to do that.
Right. And she's a femme fatale because she like double crossed Bond and like fucks him over. So she's kind of like all three of those roles by the end. So it's because she's like that femme fatale type, we don't know, like, did she love him, or was that just all part of like the ruse?
Yeah. And then it's like ultimately it's like a double punch in the stomach of it's then revealed that no, her real motivation was to save a different guy who you've never met and never will, and we just needed to kill her or get rid of her because women never come back for a second movie. So she has to, and it looks like that's not like the Bond girl doesn't always die, but it's not out of the question because it's just canonically women don't come back. Daniel Craig gets a million paychecks.
We talked about that on the Mission Impossible episode too, so if you want more discussion on, you know, disposable women, but the man keeps the core of men get to keep coming back, but the ladies, you never see him again.
Single use.
There's a scene where she's like coming on to him aggressively in like whatever hospital, like very fancy hospital he's like recovering in.
Where you can fuck in.
The sexy hospital.
And he's like, oh, you used to hate me. And she's like, I'm afraid I'm a complicated woman. And he's like, oh, that is something to be afraid of. And
it's like, oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, I'm tired. It's unfortunate. I mean, I feel like, for 2006, I think that unfortunately, this was an attempt at a more empowered Bond girl.
Man, but I mean, it's
like,
it.
But if yeah. you looked at, but compared to the others, it's like, they're like, look, he doesn't hit her. And he doesn't, like, treat her like she's the stupidest person in the world. So it's like, unfortunately, and Bond heads leap into our, swan dive into our mentions. It seems like for this particular, like, very toxic franchise, this would be progress,
but yeah. but they abandoned that because in Spectre he's dating someone who's like 22 years younger than him. Like he's because
no.
the whole movie I was like, oh good, maybe either she'll find out that like that's her dad yeah. or she's the daughter of someone who is very close to him. But yeah, and I'm like, there's no way they're gonna. Oh, they. Oh, so they're gonna. This no, absolutely not. This is yeah. why Spectre is the bottom one. It's not good.
Oh gosh. Also, the Mathis character is like constantly explaining to Vesper what's happening in the poker game.
Yeah,
and that is obviously there because the audience, if you're not familiar with poker, like there needs yeah. to be like expository dialogue to be like, oh, here's what the bet is, or here's how this is gonna play out. But like. Why not make Vesper the one who knows poker, who's the one who's like,
right.
Give her a thing. Like, it makes sense. She's an accountant. She's a numbers person.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It would make sense that she would know, she might know poker.
And that's why she would be able to say with authority, no, I'm not going to give you this additional $5 million because I know how this should be played and I understand it and you don't have the ability to carry this off and I
yes.
know that.
Like, so that would make yeah. her better, but... No, she doesn't know anything because women can't know yeah. anything. It's always the men who know the stuff.
And the reason she denies him the money is connected to that same through line of just her being flippant towards James Bond. And that's how she's the match for him
yeah.
because she won't give him whatever he wants right away. She will make him wait as many as 2 minutes
yes.
to give him exactly what he wants.
There's that scene where he's arguing with her and she's like, I'm not gonna, you're a bloody arrogant wanker. And then he's like, you're a bloody idiot. Screams at her for being an idiot because she won't give him money that he's constantly
yeah,
hemorrhaging.
Yeah, he's bleeding, yeah.
So, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Also, the men in this story are commenting on her looks constantly.
I yeah. hate Mathis or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, A, he's like talking to James Bond like she isn't there for when they're having this introductory mm-hmm. meeting. And then he's like, oh, sometimes the money. And he like touches her shoulder in this weird way. And like clearly is like, I'm straight up looking at your boobs right now. I'm not hiding it. And I'm seeing your pretend man. I'm looking in his eyes, letting him know that I'm looking at your tits. Like it's
right.
Or the, crazy.
Yeah, the part where he's like, I would tell you you're beautiful, but everybody's still staring at you.
Yeah.
And she's like, thanks.
And
you're like,
they're at
ew.
Work. This is their job.
Yeah.
They are at work, and they're still just like, you're so pretty.
Oh.
Like, that is not appropriate workplace.
The last thing I wanted to talk about was Judi Dench's
yes.
character. This seems to be one of the only things this movie does that is, like, I think unequivocally right. Because this was a character who's always played by a man. Who it's like, but now it's Judi Dench. I liked that a lot. I guess that M, Jimmy Bobo's boss,
yes.
Jimmy Bobo's Bobo, was previously played by John Huston, David Niven, Edward Fox, Bernard Lee, Robert Brown, and Ralph Fiennes.
Ooh. Or Ralph Fiennes plays it now.
Ralph Fiennes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because Skyfall, because, you know, she...
Oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah. So he's playing it now, but...
So he's not in the mix at this time.
He's not in the mix at this time, but Judi Dench was also M in some of the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Oh,
so
okay.
So she's carried through.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That part for me was cool. It's like she is, even though there's like not a lot of things of substance that happens in the
yeah.
scene, she does know who caused 9/11. She doesn't seem worried about it.
It is not that important.
But
they
like,
never tell the American spy, like, oh, hey, BT Dubs.
Right.
That thing that happened in your country not so long ago, I feel like you should know.
Right.
I was like, damn, people in Britain are.
Yeah.
They're still holding on to a grudge from like 300 years ago. They're like, yeah, we know who caused 9/11, but we're not going to tell them.
Here was my thing with M is that so she assumes this kind of like tropey boss role where she's like this stiff by the books mm-hmm. boss who doesn't like our hero's methods because they're a little unorthodox.
Of course.
But then because he gets results, she's meant to look kind of like wrong and foolish for not believing in him. Right. So she's like, oh, we have to do things by the rules. And he's like, no, I'm too cool for that. I'm going to do things my way. And then she's like, you were right. So like, I feel like she's kind of made out to like look a little like, hey, you should be more lenient with your stuff. You're too stuffy Judy. So that was my main thing with M.
Well, and she's also constantly advising. I do think the character is written to be more of a female character, mm-hmm. just the way she communicates with him. And she's also constantly advising him to repress his emotions.
Yeah.
Where she, I don't know, I'm just like, did the male versions of this character talk this much about emotional compartmentalization? Yeah. Doesn't seem like something that James Bond's male boss would be, but she brings it up like two or three times. You need to be sure that, you know, you're keeping your emotions down. I don't think you'll have a problem with that, though. And he's like, no way.
I looked at her dead. It doesn't matter. I don't care about any of this, is what he was saying at that moment.
And then she's like, okay, 9/11. See you later. You're like, no. Dark.
Gee whiz. Also, if you can hear like banging happening on this recording, we don't know what it's from, but sorry about it.
We're all doing our best. It's the metronome of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the heartbeat of the earth.
I guess my final thoughts for this movie, or this whole franchise, this whole thing, is that these movies go to great lengths to be like, look how freaking cool James Bond is.
Yeah.
He dresses well. He's charming. He's classy. He's very good at betting women.
Yes.
He drives cool cars. He wears cool watches. He says quippy lines. And
he holds guns.
And he's good. He's good.
Boy,
at fighting.
Does he hold guns.
So the male audience who these movies are targeted toward are seeing this and they're gobbling it up. They're like, oh, this is how you be cool? By mistreating women and dressing good?
Yeah.
All right, I'll
do that. I mean,
this
is like one of the seminal examples of like how young men, because it's like the movies like this are targeted at horny uncles, but also boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just like, this is like a blueprint, and it's like the further you go back in this franchise, the worse and worse it gets.
Yeah.
But even if you're a young boy that sees something like this, it's just like it just hardwires your brain all sorts of fucked up ways.
Yeah.
And I mean it's like, if you were to guess like what are the top five film franchises that wire boys' brains the wrong way on how to treat women, mm-hmm. I would say this would be there.
Top one of them. Yeah.
And it's going strong, baby. It is going strong.
They're
and there was also
a new one.
They're making I think this is Daniel Craig's last one.
Yes.
This is Swan Song. There was, worth saying, last year, there was a James Bond producer where I think that there was some, like, they were like, who's going to take over for Daniel Craig? Maybe we'll get a black James Bond. Maybe we'll get a female James Bond. And the producers were like, you will not get a female James Bond ever. Like, it was, they were very close.
We need a Jamie Bond.
We need a Jamie Bond.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm very strong, and I fuck constantly, and it does ruin. It makes me worse at my job when I fuck. So I think that there's a lot there. I'm sort of over all female reboots of fundamentally flawed franchises.
Sure.
But the fact that they were just like, nope, fuck you, no way.
Yeah.
You're like, well, now I kind of want it.
Yeah.
Like, any other final thoughts?
Yes. Okay. So I have been in love with Mads Mikkelsen for a long time.
Sure.
It is part of the reason why I was like, we have to all see this. I'm making all of my friends come to this movie that is, you're right, Jamie. I did not realize how fucking long it was. They're already in Montenegro. And I'm like, oh, this has got to be like, what, like 25 minutes? There's another hour and 8 minutes to the film.
Yes.
I was shocked that it was as long as it was.
2.5 hours long.
It's
crazy.
Over the top. They could have cut most of the scenes where just where he's doing something. I am asthmatic, and I hate that they villainize asthma in this movie.
Oh yeah,
because he's like sinister, like in his shaking of his inhaler and using it. And I'm like, okay, some of us just can't breathe that well, and I don't think that has to be a sign that we're bad people.
Yeah.
I was very upset by the representation of asthma.
Demonizing asthma is unacceptable.
Yeah.
I had one question for the room.
Sure.
Do you both think that a feminist version of the James Bond character is possible?
I mean, it would have to be, it would have to like disrupt basically everything we know about James Bond, because yes. One of the main things that's known about him is that he is a womanizer. So right. like you got to strip that whole identity from him.
Well, I think that there's a way, I think that there's a way that he can still, like, you can have a lot of sex and be not a feminist. Bad, yeah. Like, right. it's like, I think that there's a way that he could hook up with a bunch of women and treat them with respect. Sure. People do it all the time. Not enough, but it's been done.
I feel like it would have to be almost in the way that, like, I feel like there's a number of horror films now where a character, something that happened when they were a child or something, comes back and they're like, well, we were kids, and he would have to have something that makes him confront, like, oh, and like, just, I would love it if it was like pictures of all the women that he slept with who were dead. It's like, you're toxic. And he's like being tortured, but like also being forced to see, like, hey, you've like all these things that you've done, maybe this isn't the mission. Like, da-da-da-da.
I would love for there to be a major component of a James Bond, maybe like the movie after Daniel Craig, he takes a good, long, hard look at himself.
Yes! I want it.
I don't think that, I mean, and again,
they're never going to do that, but I would love to see it.
It would be so good. Like, they're, again, I have very little knowledge of this franchise, but just based on, like, the fact that the character has changed over time, and he still doesn't treat women well, but treat them differently. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like this is a malleable character. The actor changes. It's like, it seems like there's at least, if we're never going to get a female James Bond, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't even want that. I want a woman to have her own franchise. But there seems like there's a version of this character that could still drink, fight, and fuck and not be horrible to women.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see.
Mr. Hollywood, if you're listening.
I mean, sorry, just real quick. In Skyfall, there is a character who has to pay for the consequences of how MI6 operates and how, not whatever group they're in.
Like MI6,
who does have to answer for that. And it's not James Bond, it's Judi Dench. Like,
right.
So she has to deal with the consequences of like this lifestyle, what it means, because someone's like, hey, here's a mirror to like what you guys actually do. But yeah, it doesn't affect James Bond at all. He doesn't change. He still fucks around. Yeah. He still takes actions that destroy city blocks and kill millions of brown people. But like, who cares, you know?
Oh, man. Dumb. Well,
I'm holding out hope for James Bond ally. Holding out hope.
I mean, if we get Idris Elba, as is often discussed.
He's too busy doing his HBO DJ show. It dropped. I haven't seen it yet.
I won't.
My boyfriend watched it, but there's an Idris Elba DJ show on HBO. Anyways, this might be his ballers. Where it's like, famous actor gets shitty HBO show for no reason. Love it. Anyways, Idris Elba, he would be incredible.
Yes, indeed. Does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
No.
No.
No. Doesn't even come close. Women do not even interact, or I think we're even in the same scene.
There's one scene where he's like, it's not Mr. Beach or whatever, it's Mr. Bond, and he's talking to a hotel receptionist.
Oh, yeah.
She is not talking to the hotel receptionist. She doesn't resume talking until they walk away from that other woman.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. They can't actually see each other.
No.
Yeah, it's not Mr. Butt, it's Mr. Bond. That's my favorite line in the movie. No, women don't even know each other this movie. Nope.
Well,
how many nipples would we give this movie's treatment of women?
I'm going to go with a zero.
Yep.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a zero as well.
All right. Yeah.
I will go with half of a nipple.
Okay.
All of which goes to Judi Dench, because she, like, when I was a kid, I was like, she's the one in charge. She tells everybody what to do. They all do it.
That's true. Okay. I will also give a half nipple.
All right. I'm going to stick with zero.
Okay. I will, for Judi and for the baldest woman being in charge and that rule being abided by, I will give a half a nipple. Everything else was bullshit, though.
Indeed. Kanice, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I listen to the show. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
And listen to, if you're on our Patreon, I loved our Back to the Future episode. And if you're not on our Patreon, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Sign up. Yeah. Kanice, where can people follow you online? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
They can follow me on all of the platforms at Kanice Mobley. It's K-E-N-I-C-E-M-O-B-L-E-Y. And I have a podcast called Love About Town, where we are very dumb, and we joke about sex and dating and relationships.
Cool. Yeah. Hell yeah. You can follow us on all the platforms at Bechdelcast. You can subscribe to that Patreon that has all those good episodes that you're dying to hear.
2 bonus episodes a month for $5.
Damn good. Incredible. Special. So go to patreon.com/Bechdelcast to do that. You can go to our merch store. It's tpublic.com/TheBechdelcast and get all of our awesome designs, all designed by our very own James Loftus.
Jimmy, yes. You're very, our Jimmy Bobo.
And, do 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 do.
He hates women. Da-na-na-na. Hates women. Bad person.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.